Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360, AZ.com. Brad Sessmat. We have a busy day in front of us here on the show. Things going on in Arizona and across the Fruited Plain. At Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Charles Barkley coming up. He'll join us at about 10:20. We're going to talk to Charles about what's going on in Indiana and the governor wanting to make changes on his desk later today. This, of course, has been the ongoing story in Indianapolis that Charles has been speaking out about, among others, with the religious freedom law. That the Final Four should not be in Indiana, and I want to see if he feels the same way today as he did earlier this week. Also, Jameis Winston's pro day. You know, when Charles comes on, I have to talk to him about things like Tiger Woods and not the typical stuff, but there's some things there with the Masters being next week and what it's like when you get old and you know your body doesn't work right anymore. I mean, Steve Nash, we're talking about Steve Nash and just what's going on in his world. So Charles Barkley will join us here shortly. Pedro Gomez will join us every week for baseball season. Another year of Pedro Gomez saying, yep, Brad, I'm in, I'm with you. Sports 360 AZAE, ESPN Baseball Insider. Today, though, because the regular season hasn't started yet, he is going to join us from Madison, Wisconsin. He is with the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready for the Final Four. We'll talk to him about that. But I will go into the Diamondbacks and his view and the rest of the National League West with Cactus League play wrapping up. Eric and I are going to run up to NAU after the game today. Here's the cool thing about what we do. We look around and we say, all right, there's a good little story going on up in Flagstaff. We have a loyal fan base that follows us on the college front. NAU basketball tonight is playing in the CIT. Most of you don't care. But you know what? There are some that do. And there's some of you that are just sports fans. You're fans of a good story. And so after the show is over, we're going to get in the car. We're going to drive on up to Flagstaff. We're going to go over to Jerome Sauer's football practice, taking a little bit of what's going on at NAU. And then tonight they have their game. They're playing the New Jersey Institute of Technology. Is that right, E? Is that who they've got tonight?
They are. Same team that beat Michigan. I know. Michigan was hurt. And Michigan wasn't good this year. And Michigan didn't make a tournament. But still, to go into Ann Arbor and win a game says something.
What's cool about this is Eric sent me a text Saturday. And you have to understand the context of this. Eric was walking in or was already in. Were you already in the building for U of A, Wisconsin, when you said, hey, I think we should go up to NAU?
I was.
Yeah. And so, you know, we don't get all wound up about the size of the crowd. We just don't. You know, we're about telling stories.
And if U of A would have won, we probably would have been making our way out to Indianapolis because that's what we are.
We would have crammed this trip in, but instead we're going to go there. So we're excited for that tonight. That'll be up on the site at sports360az.com. Charles Barkley, Pedro Gomez on the show today. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains for 3 years. They've been with us here at sports360az.com. They said, Brad, wherever you go, we go. We're with you. And I'll tell you that if you need to get up to the White Mountains and get away from it all, yesterday I was with some big cigar ASU guys. And they're getting all excited and geeked up for Pine Top and the ASU White Mountain Sun Devil Steak Fry and all that stuff in June. And they're talking about, we'll swing by the casino and we'll have some fun up there. Yeah, because there's entertainment, pull down on the slots, eat some great food, have some fun, make your plans for the summer. You know, with sunrise just wrapping up with the ski season, maybe there's another storm rolling through. I tend to doubt it, but you just never know. But you could head up there this weekend to Pine Top and get away from it all to the Honda Resort and Casino. It is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, Honda Resort and Casino. So the story of the day in sports is Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston right now is going through his pro day. Valley resident Kurt Warner is there analyzing Jameis Winston. And of course, there's the big debate as to what Tampa Bay is going to do. We're just over a month away from the NFL draft. And so with hundreds of media and lots of NFL executives there on site at Tallahassee today, here is Kurt Warner on his thoughts. This is a short time ago on the NFL Network. Kurt Warner on Jameis Winston as a pro.
What I like is I believe all the great quarterbacks at the next level have the ability to make second-level throws. What I mean by that is chunk throws, 25 to 35 yards down the field. I think by far he's the best quarterback in this draft at doing this. The thing he needs to work on is not feeling like he can make every throw. And sometimes that's a learning process. You know, even the great ones will force things, believing they can make throws that maybe they can't.
Okay, and that's Kurt Warner. He is live down in Tallahassee right now as the Jameis Winston. I look up at the monitor. He's going through his workouts and his routine. He seemed a little nervous off the top before the show started. Regardless, he's going to throw 100 balls today in a workout, which is a little bit more than normal. The arm talent of Jameis Winston, he wants to show off. The draft being a month away, I believe as it gets closer, it's really going to come down to how can you walk away from the physical talent of Jameis Winston versus if we miss on this, all of us need to put for sale signs up in our front yard? And that's clearly what's going to go on here. You can go back to Ryan Leaf and Matt Leinart and quarterbacks Jamarcus Russell that were taken at the top of the or near the top of the draft that completely fizzled out and everybody gets fired when that happens or the organization gets set back for a long, long time. And we can all look at the physical attributes of Jameis Winston. I don't know if he looks heavy to me or not. There's some people that are speculating about that. I guess I look at these workouts and say, it's fine. It's something else to do. It's another piece of the puzzle. But get me back onto the field in a true game against teams that you're competing against.
And Winston's always been sort of bigger. He's got big legs, a big butt. He's kind of a dual threat, but he's more of a pocket passer. He's always just been kind of a bigger guy.
What's his body like?
You see Marcus Mariota, and he is a specimen. He looks like a small forward in the NBA. He's about 6'4", 6'5", thin, lean, and Winston just doesn't have the same body type. So who knows what's to make of this? Oh, Winston's overweight, weight, blah, blah, blah.
You know, is it Byron Leftwich? You know,
it's not a bad comparison.
It's one of those.
Is it Jamarcus Russell 2.0?
From a body standpoint, you look at him and say, all right, is it just something that needs to be refined? My thing is, do you end up looking at Jameis Winston and you know you're just one phone call away from a total nightmare, a total train wreck, that if somebody in their college years is willing to shoplift and is willing to jump up on a table and do something stupid, could they do the same thing at 2 o'clock in the morning at a nightclub in Tampa Bay and all of a sudden everything spirals out of control? He's just one phone call away. That's now, it.
Remember, Brad, not a bad guy, just made bad decisions.
Yeah, Jimbo Fisher. I know.
Not a bad person, just made bad decisions.
Here is Mike Mayock from the NFL Network 2, what to watch for. Mike, one of the best in the business. What to watch for at Winston's Pro Day today.
As far as the workout of the quarterback is concerned, let's be really honest about Pro Days, okay? The best Pro Day I ever saw, Jamarcus Russell. The worst I ever saw, Teddy Bridgewater. So to put it in perspective, all this is about checking off boxes. You want to see the ball come out live. You want to see his footwork live.
So, yeah, I'm not going to get too wound up about this. On Twitter, everybody's having a great time. About how he threw a perfect post down the numbers on the left sideline, wideout dropped it, yelled in frustration. Oh, okay. We can go through each and every one of his throws. Again, part of the process here. What's going on in Indianapolis is really interesting to me because we went through this. People have a short memory. The Indianapolis religious freedom law. We went through this here in Arizona, and the Super Bowl was in jeopardy. It was in play, if we remember correctly. And it wasn't that long ago. Jan Brewer vetoed the state's religious freedom bill because the NFL was so mad about the potential passage of the bill, and mostly because it would be hosting the Super Bowl right here this last year. So Jan sat there and played around on this, and I think she got a little bit of run nationally, which, what do you know, that's what they do in their space. If you can find a way to capitalize on media attention. The NFL, though, came in and said, we're not going to tolerate this. And they did make some calls. A Sports Illustrated leak that reported, I went back and researched this, that the league was already looking into possible relocation scenarios that it would have been done if she had signed the bill into law. But she vetoed the bill. The Super Bowl would bring in $500 million to the Phoenix economy, not just Glendale. Brewer couldn't risk losing that, so she caved in. If you're Indianapolis, and this morning the governor said that he wants to see changes to this bill on his desk by later this week, most of you, I think, are calm enough in this discussion that you're not going to take the get the politics out of my sports. If you're over, I don't know, if you're over 40, 50, maybe I'm wrong on that. There's a lot of guys that are older that say, I just care about what's going on the field. Well, millennials, they care about this stuff. And that's where sports is going. You know, the power that sports holds, a sports league can come in, whether it's the NCAA and say, Mark Emmert can say, we will have to look at the situation here if they were to sign this into play. The sports world will crush opponents of the LGBT rights movement. They will just crush them. And I don't know, on my view of people, I never see color. I don't see race. I don't see religion. Maybe I'm out of the box on this. I don't see, or maybe I'm pretty normal and I'm not that extremist that's out there. You know, I have friends who are gay. So what? Don't care. I go to church. I don't have to take my stance of, well, my religion says this. My religion is about tolerance. Oh, well, that's pretty wide. No, I don't know. That's how you go through life. We all tolerate one another unless you want to impose your will on me. So as I look at this, if you're going to say, yeah, as a shop owner, if somebody walks in here and it's a gay couple, then I can say, well, I'm not going to serve you. That's not right in my view. So I tend to look at this on a sports end of things, big picture. With the NCAA pull out of Indiana, they said we would have to consider it. Pat Hayden, who carries a lot of weight, USC athletic director, said today, this morning, he is not going to attend the college football playoff meetings this weekend in Indianapolis. His son is gay. He is not going to show up. I look at this as an opportunity for Arizona. I'm all about being here in Arizona. I want to see great things for my state. We already know that the Olympic movement, Jerry Colangelo trying to get USA Place put together over in Tempe. He has a good relationship with Mark Emmert, from my understanding. If they were to look at pulling out of Indiana, and I would think cooler heads would prevail based on the dialogue I've seen this morning, but maybe not. Then go take a Final Four, go take away some of these events, and let's put them right here in Arizona. We already went through this. Governor Barr already went through this. More on the Suns just choking away another game last night and looking pathetic in the process. The Coyotes doing the right thing by losing. NAU's going to have a whiteout tonight. We're going to be up there. The town's going to be blue and gold. It'll be fun. But up next, Charles Barkley. All things around the world of sports and Indiana as well. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
I don't know what you can take out of a pro day. I mean, I'm watching Jameis Winston up here, and every single one of his throws, last time I checked, there's nobody across from him wearing a jersey of another team. So I just don't get that high about this stuff. I get it. You've got to fill a program. I get it. It's late March. We get it. But I still take a look at Jameis Winston and say, I've got to take him if I feel like he's going to move Tampa Bay forward. But it's simply a 2 a.m. phone call that some of these GMs are fretting and fearing over. The talent on the field to me is remarkable. Charles Barkley joins us now for a couple of minutes. A lot going on in the world of sports and in Indianapolis as well. Charles Barkley, of course, Suns legend, NBA on TNT. And he was on CBS. He was on True TV. He's been all over the place. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad you mentioned that. Is it just me, or do NFL just try to hog the spotlight every single day?
You know what, Charles? It's like I get it in this day and age where people are chasing clicks. You know, it used to be how many newspapers did we sell? And then it turned into, well, what's the time spent listening? Now it's clicks. And it's Jameis Winston against nobody. What can you possibly take away from this today?
But it just drives me crazy how the NFL, first of all, they are by far and away the most popular. Hello?
Yeah, you there. Go ahead.
I said, it always amazes me. The NFL is by way, way the most popular thing going. But they just hog every single day now. The season doesn't start for 5 or 6 months. But they talk about football field. They just, it's overkill. It drives me nuts.
Now, I do think it's fair to say, if you're a general manager, you and I are sitting having a beer, do you take Winston or Mariota? I'm fine with that. But every one of these pro days, they've got 8 guys down there analyzing this today. Poor Kurt. Kurt Warner's down there talking about, and he's already said on the air, I don't put too much stock in this stuff. I mean, what are you supposed to do? But seriously, if it's Mariota or Winston, Charles, you're a big football fan. Which way would you go?
Well, I would go with Winston because, like I said, I'm just a novice, and I respect NFL players' opinion. These quarterbacks who play in those spread systems, they are struggling in the pros. I mean, that's just a track record. So I would go with Winston. But I say my NFL friends tell me it's like night and day playing in a pro system compared to playing in that spread offense. Well, first of all, I don't like a spread offense anyway because all you're going to do in the pros is get your quarterback killed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they've ruined RG3's career. You know, Cam Newton, they're going to get him hurt at some point. I don't think you can run a spread system in the pros. You're just going to get your quarterback killed. Look at Michael Vick. I love Michael Vick, but he's only played a full season one time. You're going to get hit, and you're going to get hurt. You can't do it.
Okay, if you're an owner, do you look at the off-the-field stuff at Florida State, or you just say, that's a stupid college kid? He'll figure it out.
Well, I think you can't. You got to really look into details on the sexual assault. That's a little bit different than stealing crab legs, or saying something stupid. I think you got to really. And listen, I don't know what happened. I haven't really went into detail.
Yeah.
But I obviously take sexual assault very seriously because I have a daughter. But you just listen. You can only do so much due diligence, and you hope. You mean you? Who think? I guess when you drafted Aaron Hernandez X amount of years later, you think he's going to try for murder. You know, I mean, you got the stupid kid in Alabama who beats the hell out of a woman again after Nick Saban gives him a second chance. Man, you listen, it's a crapshoot. You just hope somebody grows up, and some of these guys aren't growing up. It's that simple.
You don't want to be a sports executive anymore, do you? At one time, you and I have talked through the last 20 years.
I've always wanted to be I would love to be a GM.
Deal with these 2 a.m. phone calls and kids still doing stupid stuff? Really? You would take it?
That's all you – listen, we've all done stupid stuff. And, listen, it is what it is. You just hope you don't get that 2 a.m. phone call. I mean, that – I don't want to be around college kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through the recruiting and everything. But listen, I tell people this. If your team sucks in sports for an extended period of time, you just don't know what you're doing. And, Brad, I'll explain that very quickly. Sports are the only job in the world where they tell you, you suck. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you all the good players and let you go first. Think about that. Sports are the only job in the world. Like, if you go to medical school, you're going to go to the best hospital. If you go to law school, you're going to go to the biggest firm. Sports are the only job in the world where we tell you, you suck. But you know what? We're going to show you who the best players are, and we're going to let you pick them first. And you should have enough common sense to pick good players. Guys, at least who are starters or good players, you might not pick superstars. There are very few superstars. But when you get a first-round draft pick, you should be able to get a guy who's at least a serviceable starter.
Yeah, okay, so you just put this up on the tee for me, and I'm not very good at golf, but the Suns are just awful. And they're a train wreck. And
oh my God.
And it's, you know what? I the Morris guys have got to go. They've quit on Jeff. I hear this accountability and we have this young team. Well, you guys are the veterans here. And they've quit on Jeff, Charles. And I think Jeff's going to be in trouble next year, and he shouldn't be, but it's the last year of his deal with an option facing him. It's just, it's ridiculous what's gone on out here.
Well, I don't blame Jeff. Jeff didn't start sucking as a coach at the end of this year. Jeff did a terrific job. I bragged about the Suns all last year. I thought they were doing a good job. They were going in the right direction. And going out this summer, signing the deals they signed, drafting the players they drafted, they made this thing a train wreck. Listen, I like Bledsoe. Bledsoe's a very good player. I like him. But when you give him that money and then you trade your best player, Dragic, first of all, I never thought they could play together.
Yeah.
I never thought they could play together, but they are both very good players now. Then I have no idea why you bring in Isaiah Thomas. I have zero idea why, unless you're trying to win the rec league with a 6-foot league. then you draft a kid, another point guard. So now you got four point guards, and they really screwed this thing up, man. I mean, I feel bad for the fans because I live in Phoenix, so I get to watch them. Yeah. I bragged about them last year, but this thing, they've totally screwed this thing up. No way, no shape of it. That's the only way you can look at it.
Charles, it's another couple of years in the ditch at minimum now. This thing is not, I mean, when Steve left, and I felt that Steve was at the end of the line, okay? And so they trade him off to the Lakers. But this is now going on 5 years of being in the ditch and not coming out. I mean, it's in the Grand Canyon. It's not coming out anytime soon.
You know what's interesting? They traded for Brandon Knight. And they're back in the same situation they started in.
Yeah.
They got two point guards. you just had two point guards. You had a chance. They could have traded Bledsoe over the summer in a sign and trade. But once they gave him all that money, and he deserves that money, I'm not saying that, but you knew you had to pay Dragic. And it's just ridiculous how they spent. I was so excited last year. I said, man, they're going in the right direction. And I said, okay, they're going to do a sign. If they can't sign Bledsoe, they can at least do a sign and trade. But like I say, this team is as far as it can go. Bledsoe and Dragic, this is as far as they can go. But then you trade Dragic, who's your best player. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That's just stupid.
Yeah, the logic here. Okay, Indianapolis religious freedom law. We went through this with Governor Brewer here in Arizona. I can't believe that you and I, we've talked race through the years and religion and acceptance, and where it's 2015, we're having this conversation. You said earlier this week the Final Four should not be in Indiana. Do you still feel the same way today after the governor spoke this morning?
Well, what I said was, I think after this year, listen, it was too late to pull it. What I said was, I'm glad I got out there first. They shouldn't get in. I'm glad the governor just admit, hey, we made a mistake. He's still trying to blame the media. I'm against any form. You know, I get on Sheriff Joe all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't like the way he's treating the Hispanics out in Arizona, to be honest with you. I don't know why y'all still keep voting for that fool every year. He shouldn't be, he can't discriminate against people in any, because the Hispanics are great people in Arizona. And I think they get a bad rap from Sheriff Joe. But I'm glad the governor, he should admit he's wrong. But I hope that amend that law, however they do it. But you can't discriminate against people, man. It's just 100% wrong.
It's stunning to me when these stories come up. But there is that segment of the population. You know this.
Yeah. You know what they're called? They're called Republicans. They call themselves conservatives. You know, and they hide behind quote unquote being a conservative. And then they act like they're religious. That's what really pisses me off. Because if you're going to be a Christian, aren't you supposed to embrace other people,
yes,
not judge other people?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – no, you're right on that. Charles Barkley with us. Where are you going to be on May 2nd? You're going to call in sick to TNT. You're going to be in Vegas for Pacquiao Mayweather, right? You've got to find a way.
No question I'm going to be. I started sniffling on the show. I've been away from NBA for 2 weeks because of March Madness.
Yeah.
I started sniffling like 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. There's no way in the world that I'm going to miss that fight. You know, boxing and football are my two favorite sports.
Mm-hmm.
I told my boss, I said, hey, let me tell you something. There is no way I'm going to miss. I'll get you a ticket to go with me. Because I got to tell you, Brad, this has been the hardest ticket.
Yeah.
In my 30 years, probably 25 years of going to Vegas, this is the hardest ticket by far. I don't even think the public can get tickets. That's how capped these tickets have been. It's crazy.
$80,000 is what I saw this morning per ticket. $80,000.
Oh. It's ridiculous, man. My guy told me, he said, Charles, you know I love you, right? I said, no. He said, you can get 4 tickets. And you can't get more than 4. And I said, okay, I'm not going to be a pig. I really need 6. But if you can't do it, I understand you probably, because everybody wants tickets. He said, but they did. They put a cap on me. And normally, I'm a whale. They give me whatever I want. But I'm like, you know, I'm a gambler. But he says, you can only have 4 tickets. And I said, I understand. But I said, if 2 free up anywhere, which I don't think they'll free up. So it's going to be, I can't wait to get there.
Who are you taking? You got your group yet?
No.
You got everybody hitting on you to take you, though, so for you to take them, I bet.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Friends of friends.
You know what's really weird?
Yeah.
I've had other celebrities call me. That's what's weird, because everybody wants to be there. And, Brad, I know you've been to a big fight.
Many.
Ain't nothing like it.
No question.
It is the most energy. I've been to a lot of sporting events. The juice and the energy for a big fight is crazy. And this one probably should have happened 2 years ago. But I still want to be there, and I can't wait.
Mike Tyson, it used to be when I got into this business, and you and I are around the same age, early 20s, and they'd fly me up there. I'd do the show. I'd walk in, and on one side of me, I remember clearly one time, Michael Jackson, rest his soul, is walking in with his sister, and to the other side of me was Muhammad. And, you know, I'm early 20s. I didn't know what was going on, and it was awesome. And those fights, this I think, maybe the revival of boxing. I don't buy WWE is going to take it over long term.
No, but what I'm hoping is, I'm hoping it's a great fight and they do it again. You know, it really bothers me. These guys, like Muhammad Ali and Frazier, fought 3 times. When's the last time you saw like great fighters have like an epic series? They don't do that anymore. They fight a guy one time and it's over.
TV networks get involved, agents get involved, they screw the whole thing up. Because I think the guys want to fight. It's just all the business side of it. So.
Yeah, but you know what? Everybody can make money. That's the one thing. Everybody's making money, but we never, like I tell the guys, you got to do what's best for the sport. You know, you got to do what's best for the sport. Because everybody makes money. It ain't just you guys. Everybody makes money.
Charles Barkley, well, there's a couple other things I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time as always.
No problem, man.
While we're sitting here talking, Tiger Woods' private plane landed at Augusta, Georgia Regional Airport. It popped up on Twitter by the PGA Tour. So it must be true, I guess. Here's the thing. Okay, so I'm not going to go down the path of you and Tiger not talking, all that stuff. What I want to know is, when you came towards the end or were at the end on the court, did you know it? And if he doesn't play next week at Augusta, is he at the end? Does he not know it? When you're great, when you have greatness, you're great. Does he just, he'll never accept that it's over? What do you think on that?
Well, it's a mental thing, because what I try to do, I probably played 1 year, maybe 2 years too long. What you try to do is, you want to finish on a high note that never comes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tough thing. Like my last couple of years, I knew I had 2 decent years in Phoenix. Two good years in Houston. And I said, I want to finish up with like really good. And the problem is, it's kind of like pro day. Like when you're in the gym by yourself during the summer, everything feels good to you.
Yeah.
And then when you see a 25-year-old guy you see a guy come in the gym, you're like, I got to play against that guy? So everybody feels good. Tiger probably feels great when he's hitting the ball on the range. And then when he gets out there, Tiger's problem to me, they're all physical, to be honest with you. He can't stay healthy. But these young guys, man, Tiger is a product of his own success. He created Rory McIlroy. He created Dustin Johnson.
Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth. Yeah. Like, all these kids grew up and they started thinking, they had Tiger Woods on the wall. I mean, so that's Tiger's biggest problem. Number one, trying to get healthy. But Jordan Spieth, Rory, Adam Scott, Justin, those guys are 10 to 15 years younger, and they don't have the wear and tear. I mean, Tiger's had probably 6 major surgeries on his body. I mean, think about that. Name me another golfer who's had as many surgeries as Tiger.
Yeah, I mean, Kalkovecki had some back stuff, but he was not a Tiger Woods.
No, but Tiger's had serious injuries, man. And I don't know if his body can take – first of all, he's old for a golfer. I mean, he's old for a golfer. Phil Mickelson is old for a golfer, and I love Lefty. It's going to be very difficult for Phil and Tiger. Those guys are 40 or older. It's going to be hard for them to keep compete with 25, 26, 21. Jordan's 21.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for them to compete because they got a lot of mileage on their body.
Who are you rooting for next week at Augusta? You got anybody?
You know.
Who would you put money on, Charles?
I don't ever bet on golf. That's right. Anybody bet on golf is just an idiot. The chance of you picking out one guy who's going to win a golf tournament out of 100-some guys. I would. You know what? I'd go. If I had a guy, I'd probably go. I think Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
I do. But don't bet against Jimmy Walker now. You know, don't bet against Jimmy Walker. He's playing. He won last week. And he's peaking, man. He's had a great year so far. But I'm going to go with a guy probably, Jordan's got a good chance, but I'd probably go with a guy like 31 or 32 years old. But that's when you, like, really got the mental aspect and the physical aspect together. You know, we're having this conversation last week because Clark asked me, when you're at the peak of your superpowers? I said 25 to 32. That's when the player's at his best in basketball because – it takes you about 2 or 3 years to get your body together. You gain weight and get stronger. And then mentally it comes together. So 25 to 32 for a basketball player is when you're at your absolute peak. So I'm assigned between 30 and 35, I think that's when you're at your absolute peak in golf.
You, if you were to put your hands on the shoulders of Charles Barkley at 25 years of age today, and you were to look at Charles Barkley at 25 in the eyes today and tell him, what would advice would you give him? Now that you're north of 50, what advice would you give him if you're given advice?
You know, I was pretty good at 25, right around. I spent my first 8 years in Philadelphia, and I was a much better player my last 6 years in Philly than I was ever in Phoenix. No matter how much success, I had a better team with KJ, Mark West, Dan Marlin, those guys, Oliver. I was a much better player in Philly. I think the biggest mistake of my career was I should have forced my way out of Philadelphia probably 2 years sooner. Mm-hmm. But those last 2 years in Philly, I didn't want to get traded, and there was trade rumors the whole time. You know, because I was like, I want to be loyal to this team. And I didn't realize, like, this is a business. You're wasting your talent. If I had got to Phoenix 2 years sooner, our team, we would have been a much better team. Because once I got to Phoenix, you know, after those 8 years in Philly, I was starting to show some treads wearing off my tires. You know, because I had, you know, you're playing. As a player, you think you can win all the time. Even if your team sucks, you think you can, like, I can make us win. Mm-hmm. And I was playing 45 minutes a night. The coach asked me if I needed a break. I said no. That was part of my biggest regret, trying to play the whole game, and I would have got out of Philadelphia 2 years sooner and got to Phoenix.
It's not even regret, though. I mean, off the court, would you have done anything differently if you're at 50 telling a 25-year-old? It's kind of like Jameis Winston. We're sitting here talking about him, and when he's 50 – he may look back and say, what was I thinking? Do you ever have those moments of what was I thinking? I know you've told me you don't live with regret, but this isn't regret.
No, I mean, we all live with regrets, but we all do live with regrets. I've probably been arrested. You know, obviously I got the DUI, but I think I've been arrested for fighting like 6 or 7 times. And people are not going to like you when you're successful. Yeah. I tell people now, being famous is like being a homecoming queen. All the ugly girls hate you. You know, and now with, you know, I do no social media because it just became a place where losers go to voice their opinion and make fun or hate on other people, especially celebrities. And those times I got arrested for fighting, I was like, you just can't say that to me. Now I'm 52. I realize, like, okay, everybody's not going to like you. You don't take it personally. You're like, okay, you don't like me. I understand. I don't have to try to kick your ass because you don't like me. You don't like me. Okay, we're cool. I just turn the other cheek and walk away. But that's probably the biggest thing. If there's some people who are not going to like Jameis Winston because of the sexual assault thing, they're never going to like him. They're going to say mean-spirited things to him his entire career. There's nothing he can do about that. You know, it's the same thing with Greg Hardy down in Dallas. There are some people who are never going to forgive him. He was 100% wrong. Same thing with Ray Rice. But there's people who are going to say stuff for the rest of their career. You know, they get those fans boozed up. You can't react to it. You can never react to it. That's the thing I probably would share with Jameis Winston. But people are going to call him a rapist every time he goes on the road. Some fans follow him home. And he can't react to it.
Yep. I appreciate your time and just visiting with you as always. Stay well, and I'll see you down the road.
Okay, my brother. You take care of yourself.
See you, Charles. Okay. Charles Barkley for a couple of minutes. On the other side, some of the Winston workout looks like it's finishing up. We will also have Pedro Gomez here with us shortly from Madison, Wisconsin. Appreciate Charles Barkley swinging by sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. Again, Eric and I are going to run up to Flagstaff after the show today because there's a cool little story going on up there. This is, I don't mean little disrespectfully towards NAU, but I think it's neat that it's the first time ever in the history of the basketball program up there. They've reached the Final Four of the CIT, which is two notches below the NCAA tournament. It's fine. The city of Flagstaff, they're moving around things, closing businesses and all that stuff to take it in. So I think it's a good little story. We'll shoot some video, put some stuff up on the site at sports360az.com. Pedro Gomez joins us now for a couple of minutes from Madison, Wisconsin. He is part of a much bigger story. ESPN's Pedro Gomez. It is my understanding from the powers that be that you have agreed to do another year of baseball with us. Is this true?
Year three. I'm continuing to fool you, Brad.
Wow. We're continuing to fool you, I guess. I don't know. I mean, we're just having fun, but looking forward to the start of the season.
Happy to be back.
That'll be fun.
Happy to be back.
So before we get over to the Diamondbacks, let's just talk about your team up there that you're covering. And, you know, the four coaches, I don't know Bo Ryan because I haven't heard him in press conferences as much as I'm gravitated towards Izzo and Krzyzewski and Calipari. What's Bo Ryan like?
A tremendous, tremendous coach, huge Wisconsin roots. This is somebody who coached at, before he came here, he was at University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee, mm-hmm. took them to the NCAA tournament. Before that, he was at Division III Wisconsin Platteville and won three national titles there, including two teams that went completely undefeated. You know, not nearly the same glare that a Kentucky would get at the Division I level, but going undefeated at any level in college basketball is not easy. So somebody who is a tremendously respected coach, and you know it because he and Calipari are up for the Naismith Coach of the Year, but they're also up to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame this year, each of them. So this is somebody who has tremendous, tremendous respect within the game. And in speaking to his players the last couple of days, just anything he says is gospel because he is a basketball whiz, kind of in the sense of and Brad, you'll know the name, but like a Pete Newell, somebody
sure.
who's just so highly respected within the game. And that's what Bo Ryan is. And, you know, of the four coaches in the Final Four, he's the only one without a Division I national championship. And who knows, that could change in the next few days.
ESPN's Pedro Gomez in Madison, Wisconsin, with the Badgers getting ready for the Final Four. Did you challenge Sam Decker to a three-point shootout? Or did you see him miss a shot in warm-ups or anything while you were up there?
I actually did see him miss a shot.
Wow.
It was kind of
U of A didn't.
U of
A didn't.
No, no, he didn't, especially not in the last 10 minutes of that game.
What's he like?
He's a kid. He's such a cordial young kid that you'd be amazed. He is everything is yes sir, no sir. You know, I talked to him yesterday, met him, and it turns out both he and Frank Kaminsky, by the way, are big baseball fans because they each came up to me and said, "What are you doing here? I thought you were a baseball guy." I said, "You know, I do some other stuff too," and they both told me about their high school careers playing baseball. Decker was a shortstop because I immediately said, "Oh, you must have been a first baseman." He goes, no, I was like 5'10 in high school." And Kaminsky was a first baseman and a pitcher, and he said he loved to pitch. He absolutely loved it, and he says one of his regrets is that when he was in high school, he had to play in the spring either AAU basketball or baseball, and he picked AAU basketball. He said if he had to do it over again, I would have played baseball because I loved pitching, loved it.
Hmm. That must be cool for you because they automatically warm up to you. I mean, you're a recognizable figure anyways, but it's a different sport. So they're already gabbing at you before you even sit down with them, right?
Yeah, they wanted to talk baseball.
Sure, sure.
Decker's a huge Brewers fan, and Kaminsky, who's from suburban Chicago, I said, "Oh, you're a Cub fan." He goes, "I hate the Cubs. I can't stand the Cubs. Everybody's a Cub fan in my neighborhood. I'm a White Sox guy." I was like, whoa. He was very adamant about being a White Sox guy, not a Cubs guy at all.
How do they feel about their matchup? I mean, they're going to say all the things that we can win. We can see a way to win.
Yeah.
Notre Dame may have given them some things to work on to go with. What's the feel up there about their matchup?
I mean, it's not going to be easy. There's no doubt. And the difference between this year and last year, you know, they only lost to Kentucky by 1 point last year. But this year's Kentucky team is not last year's Kentucky team. Let's face it. That Kentucky team was a number 8 seed in their region. So they kind of were like the miracle team that made it to the Final Four. Wisconsin, on the other hand, was a 2 seed last year. They're a 1 seed this year. They are absolutely a solid team who, again, getting back to Bill Ryan, as well-coached as anybody in the tournament. You never really see them make glaring mistakes. And the issue probably will be Kentucky's low post offense and defense. You know, they just come at you in waves. They have four players who are at or near 7 feet, whereas Kaminsky is really the only 7-footer on this team. They have a 6'10 senior, and then they have a 6'8 sophomore. So height-wise, they absolutely could have some matchup problems. The one thing is they don't commit a lot of fouls.
Mm-hmm.
Kaminsky's only fouled out once in 142 games here at Wisconsin. And this year, the first game where he picked up more than 3 fouls was this past Saturday against the Wildcats. So he knows how to play without fouling, but he's never played a front line quite like what Kentucky's going to bring. So it'll be interesting. I mean, Wisconsin's very good at slowing the game down, which is what you have to do against a team like Kentucky because they're just so talented and athletic. And that's kind of Wisconsin's game. And if, again, they've got the right coach to try to beat Kentucky and Bo Ryan.
Pedro Gomez with us for a couple of minutes. Your baseball assignment this year will be what?
doing stuff for Baseball Tonight and SportsCenter. We're not going to have a reporter on Monday or Wednesday night baseball is what I've been told.
Hmm.
So I'll be doing features and news stories from around the league and, you know, hopefully that'll carry me through.
Yeah. And you'd like that. I mean, it's no offense to not being like the Yankees, Red Sox, Yankees, Yankees, Red Sox, Tigers, Red Sox guy. I mean, you've done a lot of that.
Yeah.
But to go pick out somebody across the fruited plain and say, I'm going to go get on a plane and do something on them, I think that would be cool.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I'm looking forward to it.
So that said, I think the Diamondbacks are going to win 84 games. Now, are you going to talk me off the ledge? And here's why. All right. I know it's all about pitching, but I also have to factor in that Goldschmidt and Trumbo weren't there for a good portion of the second half of the season, and they won just under 70 games. I'm thinking they're going to be about 15 games better. Am I drunk? Am I high? Am I just losing my mind? I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. Does 84 put them in contention? I don't think it does. The division's too good. Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I honestly, looking at it objectively, I'd be shocked.
Shocked
if they win half their games. I'd be shocked if they win half their games.
Really?
Again, well, I'm a guy that always believes that you go as far as your starting pitching.
You don't mean Trevor Cahill is your number five starter is going to get it done, Pedro?
The fact that they only had two of their five starters until just yesterday or the day before when they announced the other three, that's an indication that there are some major, major problems. And, you know, this new regime just took over in November, basically, and it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. Don't forget that Theo Epstein basically could walk on water. He got to the Chicago, and this is year four of him being in Chicago, and just now is the first time that there's hope. So the fact that in the last 6 years, the Diamondbacks have had only one winning record. I know they've had a couple of 81-81s, but only one winning record. Brad, I'm
You're thinking I've been drinking.
I know you're not a drunk, and I know you don't get high.
So I don't. I don't either.
So I'm going to say that you're out of your mind. I'm going to say you're out of your mind.
I'm just out of my mind. I've lost my mind here. I'm not being objective. I'm being a hometown guy. I don't know. You know, hope springs eternal.
Well,
but
none of us know. None of us know, obviously. But
they're going to be better than 69 wins, though.
I don't know.
Really? Wow.
I don't know.
you're much smarter than I'm ever going to be, and you're making it sound like we're in for just another, by May 15th, let's just look for something else to do out here.
Well, here's part of why I say that, because you play your games in the National League West. You play a good chunk of them. You play 19 times against four other teams. That means you're going to get Clayton Kershaw probably three or four times. You're going to get Zach Greinke three or four times. You're going to get Hyun-Jin Ryu three or four times. You're going to get James Shields three or four times. You're going to get Madison Bumgarner three or four times. You're facing some top-level starting pitching. Even Jorge De La Rosa with the Rockies is no cakewalk. You're facing top-level pitching on a lot of different nights, and I just don't know that the D-backs can match up with that level of pitching on a consistent basis. And that's where I'm basing my thought that they could have a long year.
Hearing you speak through the phone here, I would think if we were sitting together on the bench at Chase Field, you would be much stronger towards me. I mean, like you'd literally be hitting me with your clipboard or something. Like
you'd see the Cuban veins popping
out of my neck. Yeah. What about Tomas? What are you hearing about Tomas in his spring?
I'm hearing third base, no way. He just can't handle that position. So that means corner outfield. Well, you've already got one corner outfielder in Trumbo. You've got Pollock in center. You've got Inciarte. You've got, you've got other players there that are pretty good players. Yeah. But the great equalizer is the fact that you're paying Tomas $70 million. You've guaranteed him 70, so you've got to get him in the lineup somehow. But I've heard that don't expect a lot defensively.
So, and it wouldn't be over at third. So, and they've got Cody Ross in that equation too, right?
Yeah, I mean, Cody Ross, exactly.
You got Cody Ross out there, and you got a number on him. And it seems to me that like this first 2.5 months, outside of the pitching, it's Tomas is like the big question mark. How are you going to fit him in, and who's going to get moved out of here? There's no question. There's going to be some moves on this team as the season goes along. And the way you're making it sounds like you and I are going to have some really interesting shows in July because they're going to be selling.
Unless the sale takes place earlier. Unless the sale takes place earlier.
Yeah.
It's the type of season where, remember last year, it was May 1st, and already it looked like there's no way this team is going anywhere. And sure enough, they didn't. There's no Australia trip this year, so there's no excuse of, that long trip.
I heard that too much last year.
I know, and that was two games. That was two games. If you're out of it after two games, then you really are not a good team at all. And, granted, they weren't. Nobody had a worse record in baseball than the Diamondbacks last year. So Tomas has to get his way. They have to find a way to get him into the lineup on a daily basis, or at least on a regular basis, because you don't pay somebody that kind of money and then not play him. So that's going to be a big part of what Chip Hale has to go through this year, is finding a way to get Tomas into the lineup. And it's not going to be as easy as what I'm being told because of the defensive liabilities that he has.
Before I let you go, what is the early word outside of the Diamondbacks camp on Chip Hale as a manager?
Good choice. Everybody I've talked to, somebody who's going to bring a lot of fire, somebody who's going to hold players accountable, and somebody who's going to be a very good communicator to his players. They may not necessarily like or enjoy what he's going to tell them, but he is going to tell them the truth. And that's really all the player wants. When you talk to players, the one thing they repeat over and over and over, I just wish somebody would tell me what they want from me, what's expected, what my role is, things like that. These are the things that all players want. And if Chip Hale can do that, he'll be successful. Once he has talent to be able to be successful, and of course, a lot of that has to do with starting pitching.
Yeah. All right. We will let you go off that. Safe travels, and we'll talk next week. Thanks.
Okay. All right, Brad.
It's Pedro Gomez with us. Every week during the Major League Baseball season. I mean, Eric, I don't think we should even... Do we have to do Pedro now? The Diamondbacks are going to suck again, according to Pedro. I mean, I want to have him on every week.
Well, it's a baseball segment.
He just crushed them. He just, I mean,
as
he
made
me look,
Brad,
foolish.
The last few years, when the Diamondbacks have been buried down at the bottom, we have talked other stuff with Pedro besides just
thank goodness.
You know, Derek Jeter's last year. There are all kinds of baseball. There's all kinds of storylines.
We'll find angles.
We'll figure out something.
Because we don't want it to be, hey, I was going through their schedule, and, you know, they can, if they're 500 at the end of the first month, okay, first month and a half, it's like their first 36 games I was going through the schedule, not like impossible for them. Others would disagree.
And maybe the Diamondbacks will like unveil a new like 35-inch pizza that you can get at the ballpark. Who knows?
Something.
They're
anything.
Good. At, they're very good at marketing.
They are. That. They are. Just get good on the field and I'd be happy. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Partner with the Arizona Republic, I'm Brad Sussmann.